Hebrews 11 and 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. And by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Seeing him who is invisible. I think that we're all very much aware of the fact that there's the world that we live in, and then there's another world. And there's the temporal world that we live in, the world of our senses, the touch, the taste, the sight, and all five of the senses. That's the world that we live in every day, and everyone does. But there's another world. There's the world and the realm of the Spirit. Amen. And the spiritual person understands that there's more going on than what we see, what we smell, what we taste, what we touch, what we hear. Amen. We have other sense or other senses, and that is our spiritual sense, our spiritual sensitivity that helps us to be able to see. Whenever the scripture here describes Moses as being able to endure all of these circumstances and these trying situations, he was able to endure, it says, because he could see him who is invisible. Do you know that every one of us, every Christian, that we need to have our spiritual senses tuned up, and our spiritual eyes opened, and our spiritual ears more in tune. Amen. We need to be in tune with the spiritual world. 2 Corinthians 4 and 18 says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are not seen are temporal. They're passing away. They're temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. So we all are living in a temporary world, aren't we? We're living in a world. Even this earth is passing away. Everything in this world is in the process of decaying and going away. And even the things that many times we treasure as precious and valuable things, the things of this earth, as precious as they might be, they are temporary, aren't they not? They're temporal. Whenever you hear a person say, when you're talking about spiritual things and you hear a person say, I just don't see it. I just don't get it. I just don't see it. It's because they're looking through their temporal, physical senses. They don't understand spiritual things. The carnal man cannot comprehend the things of the Spirit. He doesn't understand spiritual things. So it's like you're talking a foreign language to them. If you're talking to a person that's not a Christian about spiritual things, then really, most of it, they're not going to understand. I believe that God has given to every man a measure of faith, at least enough faith that he can reach out and he can be saved. He can be born again. But that person that's living every day in the you know, just by their fleshly senses and their carnal way that we all live, that person can't comprehend the things of the Spirit of God. He doesn't understand spiritual things, and he can't. He can't know them. He can't comprehend them. He has no interest in the things of God. Whenever Sandy was talking about her brother-in-law, who is now somehow interested in the Bible, reading it, learning it, knowing it, something is going on spiritually in his heart, or that would not be happening. There would be there's a desire that's there. There's an appetite for the word of the Lord that only comes from God. And so whenever you hear someone say, "I just don't see it, I don't understand it," it's because they are not born again, or at least if they have been saved, they've slipped into to their old life, the fleshly life, and they're living by the senses of the flesh. Amen. But the Bible says that whenever you become a Christian, you become a citizen of another world. Praise God. And this world is no longer your home. You have another home. This world is temporary. And as a matter of fact, you long for the day of that eventual redemption, the redemption of the body. A person that's born again, the only contentment that they really can have in this world is in the things of God. When you're born again, your contentment and your love has to do with the things of God and all the things that God has given to you and blessed you with, and you recognize it's all from the Lord. And the only pleasures that a Christian has is in their understanding that God is the center of everything. Amen. He's your all and all, because as Christians, you are you're citizens of another world and not this world. So if you're wondering about your spiritual sensitivity, why don't I feel like other people? Why am I not interested in church? Why am I not interested in studying the Bible? Why am I not interested in Sunday school or church? It's because you need to be born of the Spirit. And if you have been born again of the Spirit and you have found yourself slipping into that attitude that you don't really care about spiritual things, then you need to get concerned. You need to renew that experience. You need to get back to a place of prayer, back to the altar, and renew that experience and redo those first works all over again. Amen. And get back in right relationship with the Lord. So you need to be born again, and then you need to be filled with the Spirit. Amen. Filled with the Spirit. Let me read you some scriptures. It's a few verses from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says, "For we know that our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. We have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." This is what we're talking about. That we're not of this world, we're of another world. "For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan." Being burdened. Burdened down, right? The longer you live in your earthly tabernacle, the more you're going to realize that it's temporary. It starts aching and hurting, and you don't have the stamina and the strength that you've had. And as the years go by, you'll recognize this old tabernacle is not, it's not going to last forever. It's going to wear out. And eventually, we need to make sure that we have not just an earthly tabernacle, this body of flesh, but that we have a heavenly home. Amen. "For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be clothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit." What's the earnest of the Spirit? You want to move into the things of the Spirit of God? Now, we all know that earnest, if you're going to buy something, especially if you want to purchase something, a lot of times people will put a down payment, and they used to call it earnest money. You would put down some earnest money. That just simply meant, I want to put this money down because there's more to come. And it'd be a small percentage of the sum total of what you were purchasing. The earnest money you would give, and it was with a promise that I'm going to give you this $100, but there's going to be several hundred more coming after it. The earnest money was just a little taste of what was to come. Amen. And so whenever the Apostle Paul is describing the earnest of the Spirit, he's talking about the blessing of being filled with the Spirit, that it's it's really a little taste of what heaven is going to be like. Amen. To be strengthened in the Spirit, to be living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, is just the earnest of what is to come. Amen. So I can't understand why someone would not be interested in being born again of the Spirit. Why someone would not be interested in being filled with the Spirit. Because the more that you enter into the realm of the Spirit of God, the more that you can comprehend and understand about the world that is unseen. The world that is invisible. Amen. So it's through being born again. It's through being filled with the Spirit that we gain spiritual sight and sensitivity to another world, the invisible world, the spiritual realm, that too oftentimes is ignored, and that as Christians, we should be living in that world. Amen. Living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, being used of God and directed of God by the Holy Spirit. We are to be spirit. We are spiritual beings. We should be filled with the Holy Spirit of God and walking and following the direction of God's Spirit in our life. How do we continue this? Well, we do it by prayer. There's certain things that certain activities that we have been commanded in the Scripture to do, and it's for the benefit of our spiritual being. We are to pray because whenever we pray, we are communicating with the Creator God. The Almighty One. Amen. And so you're not just talking to someone that's on your level. Whenever you call on the Lord, whenever you enter into prayer, you enter into spiritual activity. Amen. You're entering into the realm of the Spirit. The same thing is true of the Word of God. When you read the Bible, or when you study the Bible, or when you're being taught, or the ministry, the preaching of the Word of God, it's all an activity of the Spirit that strengthens and builds up the spiritual man and makes us more in tune with the things of the Spirit. Amen. Glory to God. So if you want to be used of the Lord, if you want to live in the Spirit, then you can press into it. And that's what we all should be doing. We all should be pressing in. I hope that this week many of you are seeking the Lord. And whenever a person prays and seeks the Lord and gets in the Word and spends time in prayer and fasting, then you are shutting out to a lot of the things of this world, and you open yourself up to the things of the Spirit. Whenever you're in a time of prayer and fasting, there's a whole new level of not only interest in spiritual things, but inspiration of the Spirit. The Word of God means more to you. It comes alive to you. God speaks to you. Amen. Maybe through the night or early in the morning, you'll wake up and you'll sense the presence of God and the Spirit of God. And the Lord is talking to you or dealing with you or reminding you of His Word whenever you enter into spiritual activity at this level, then you begin to open up your spiritual senses. Amen. Glory to God. Whenever you shut off the natural senses and the physical world, then you begin to awaken the spiritual person, the spiritual sensitivity to the things of God. Now that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? That's a wonderful thing. We have an open door. We have a means whereby we can just step into the realm of the things of the Spirit of God. Remember when Stephen had preached that message there in the book of Acts? And they're so convicted, they're so cut to the heart by what he's saying that they decide to stone him. But instead of Stephen's, wincing or even crying out about the stones that are hitting him, he's so in touch with another world that the Bible says he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." I mean, this was the most horrible thing that you could imagine that someone could go through, being stoned to death. But he's so outside of his the fleshly world that he was in, certainly I know that he physically felt the blows of those rocks that were being thrown at him. But I have to tell you, from these verses of Scripture that I read to you, Stephen was having this glorious vision. He was somewhere suspended between heaven and earth because he said, I see heaven opening up. I see Jesus at the right hand of the throne. I see the throne of God. And his eyes were open because he was in the Spirit. Being full of the Holy Ghost, he looked steadfastly. His eyes were open to another world. That's what happens whenever you seek the Lord. Whenever you press in to the things of God and to the word of the Lord, you begin to see what you normally do not see. You have an understanding. You have a whole new level of sensitivity to the things of God and to the Spirit of God because you are moving in the Spirit. Amen. It's illustrated, and I've mentioned this lately, but it's illustrated in 2 Kings chapter 6 when the Syrian army came against the prophet Elisha. And it says that the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth. Behold, an host compassed the city about with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? What are we going to do? We're surrounded. And he answered, Fear not. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. What? What are you talking about? When he stepped out that morning, all he saw was all the horses and the chariots and the armies of the Syrians that were surrounding them. And then the prophet prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire around about Elisha. What was going on? Well, Elisha prayed. Elisha was a man of God, in tune with God, and he saw the armies coming against him, but he was already very much aware of the fact that all of the host of this angelic army was already there to defend him. And he said, open this little servant's eyes so that he could see. And when his eyes are open, then he sees the world that we're talking about. Amen. He sees the realm of the Spirit. He sees the invisible world. And that's the world that we can participate in if we draw nigh to God, if we press in to the things of God. Some months ago, a scripture from the Beatitudes, Matthew 5 and 8, was on my mind. And I think I even preached from that one verse. Blessed are the pure in heart. The pure in heart, that's the person that is seeking after the things of God, who's laying aside their desires, and they're pursuing the heart of God. That's the pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Amen. When you seek after the Lord, your eyes are open. Your vision is open. You have a new doors are open, and you're able to see into a world that you normally are not able to see into. Now, I'm not making this up. I'm giving you chapter and verse. It's the truth. Talking about seeing him who is invisible. Amen. That's what happens. We live in a world of... Let me tell you, if you're spending your time looking around at all of the troubles and the problems of your life and of this world, it's a big mess. The world is in a mess. And the only way that you can live in victory and enjoy the victory that Christ has promised to all of us, and that is that you be a spiritual person. You be in tune with the voice of God. Now let's get back to our text in Hebrews chapter 11. Doing good on time. Hebrews 11 and 23, by faith, someone has said, faith is that ability to see things the way that God sees them. Faith is that ability to see from God's perspective. Instead of seeing from our life and our circumstances, but faith is the ability to see things the way that God sees them. And that's what happens when you enter in to the life of the Spirit. Amen. When you seek the Lord, I want you to notice here in this account of the faith of Moses and his family. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. There's the key word. They saw. The thing that gave them the courage to do what they did. Because there had been this commandment that had been brought down by Pharaoh that every son that is born, you shall cast him into the river. Every baby was to be thrown in the river. He was to be destroyed. But somehow, these parents had the courage and the faith. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. Now, most of the time, when you look at that word, if you study, do a word study on that, many of the commentators, it just says that he was handsome or he was beautiful. But the word, the Hebrew word for proper child is a word that means pertaining to a city. Pertaining to a city. That's the word. But it meant that he was kind of polished. He was they saw that he had this ability. Now, this isn't after that he's lived until he's 40 in the house of Pharaoh, being raised by Pharaoh's daughter. This is when he's a little bitty child. By faith, his parents saw what he was going to be. They saw what was going to happen to him. By faith, how did they do that? Well, it was faith. They had confidence in God. And faith caused them to be able to see that God had a plan, he had a purpose, that it was going to be realized in the life of Moses. Now, isn't that wonderful? It is wonderful. They saw that he was a baby with potential. They saw that the hand of God was upon him. And it was that reason that they risked their life. It was for that reason that they had the courage and the faith to do what, you know, most were under such fear of their own lives that they were just doing what they were being commanded to do. But no, not Moses' parents. They said no. By faith, they saw what he was going to become, and they would not. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. That's what it says. Because they saw. Faith is that ability to see like God sees, to see from God's perspective, seeing things from his point of view. Amen. And so his parents saw him for what he was going to be. Now, I do believe that what we need to understand here tonight is if we're going to move into the realm of faith and the realm of the Spirit, that we're going to have to ask the Lord, Lord, as I press into you, open my eyes so I can see what you're doing. So I can see your plan, so I can be in step with the plan of God. Here is Moses' parents making a critical decision about his future when he's just a little bitty baby. And they set the direction of his life. Praise God. Verse 24, by faith Moses, first his parents, but now Moses, when he was come to years, he was 40 years old when he left the household of Pharaoh. He was educated there. He was trained there. He was brought up as an Egyptian elite. He was wealthy. He was educated. He had possibly even in line for a prestigious position in the kingdom. All of those things were his. But when he came to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughters. Faith will not only help you to see the possibilities instead of your problem, but faith will help you to have godly priorities in your life, to make the right decisions. Every day we're making decisions. Some of them are incidental, but sometimes we're making decisions in our lives, and we don't realize how critical, how important that they are when you're raising your children or in any phase of your life. You make decisions about your life and even about spiritual things. But faith will help you to see. This is the road to follow. This is the way I need to go. And faith will help you, cause you to be able to choose suffering, even if that's necessary. To choose to suffer for the cause of Christ. Because you can see the bigger plan. Moses was able to choose suffering with the people of God more than the pleasures of this world, the pleasures of sin for a season. That's the kind of perspective he got. He realized, I can go back into the palace. I can enjoy the pleasures of the palace. I can live my life with all of these privileges. But one of these days, I'm going to die. One of these days, it's all going to come to an end. And so he lived with a spiritual perspective. And he made decisions by faith with a spiritual perspective. Decided to put God first. That seems pretty simple, but really, I think that we all need to be reminded of the importance that we are to seek first the kingdom of God. We need to put God first in our life, in every area of our life. Seek first the kingdom of God. And then all these other things, talking about our basic needs in our life. All these other things will be added to us. They'll be given to us. God will make sure we're taken care of if we'll just put God first. Amen. Glory to God. Serving Jesus is going to pay. Amen. Amen. Doing the right thing. Making the right decisions. Living the godly life. Living the life of the Spirit. There's going to be a payday one of these days. Amen. And we're going to stand in the presence of the Lord. And we're going to be so thankful that God in His mercy has given to us the privileges and the blessing of knowing Him and walking with Him. Nothing more important than the work of the kingdom of God. Nothing more important. He esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. He made a decision. He chose. He made a decision, and it was the right one. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. It just simply means he knew what was really valuable. He knew what really was important. He had respect unto the recompense of reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured. This is the whole key to these verses that we've just went through here. Verse 23 through 27. For he endured. He remained steady. He pressed on. He didn't let any trial or trouble or any situation get him off track. He endured. How did he do that? Because he could see the invisible. Praise God. He could see the invisible. And I do believe that as you seek the Lord, as you pray and fast, and you draw nearer to the Lord, then you will see things. Too oftentimes, our worries, our troubles, our problems, and we're full of fear and doubt and all these things because we're all surrounded with these things, and that's what we see. We look in every direction, and all we see, trouble, worries, problems, and all these things. But the Lord wants us to set our sights higher, to look above all of these things and understand that we need to see from God's perspective. The only way that Moses can make the right decisions, the only way that he could be the man that he became and the leader that he became and the lawgiver that he became, the only way that he was able to do that is that he endured because he saw the invisible world. Amen. Glory to God. And that's the world that we need to be living in and living for. And you live in the Spirit, when you're filled with the Spirit, when you walk in the Spirit, you're living in that world. Amen. Glory to God. Others of the patriarchs here in chapter 11 talk about the very exact same thing. These all died in the faith, verse 13, having received the promise, having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them. They saw them. They saw and got their priorities right and their attention focused. They saw them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in this world, the temporal world, the carnal world. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. That's the world I really live for. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had the opportunity of return. But now they desire a better country. That is in heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Glory to God. Amen. So since Moses' name literally means from a city. From a city. Or of the city. That's what it's talking about. Amen. He had a purpose in his life. And it was only realized as he saw the invisible. I want to close by just saying to all of us here. We can be good people. We can have a good, you know, profession of faith. And you can live as a believer. I believe God. I believe he's my Savior. I believe the Bible. You can believe all of those things and still not enter into what I'm talking about. Believing is not all there is. The devils, the demons believe and tremble. They believe the Word of God. They believe the gospel. They believe what you believe. Believing is not all there is. We believe, but then we move in. Amen. We move into the things of the Spirit, whereby we're able to see things that we couldn't otherwise see. Hallelujah. I told you a couple of weeks ago that we were in a service in Fort Myer, and when a teen challenge director stepped up on the platform and invited a young family to step up there on the platform, and he introduced them. This young man, 17 years before, they said, had been a drug addict. And he'd come to that very Teen Challenge Center in Fort Myers. 17 years later, when he stepped up on the platform, he has his little wife and little twin babies, the nicest looking little family. And as soon as I saw them and I heard that, I said, Lord, that's what I want for my son. That's what I want for him. And I got a hold of that. And when I got that call, Marcia and I got that call Monday night, I just thought, Lord, you're beginning the work. You're beginning the work. Praise God. Amen. Somehow, if you can get a little glimpse outside of the world we live in every day, and see the promise of God and the possibilities and see through the eye of faith what God wants to do, then you can endure. Amen. Then you can endure because you know God has a plan and he's going to move, and he is working and he is moving. And I just rejoice in that. I encourage those of you that are praying and fasting, I encourage you. I know it's challenging, it's difficult, but it's rewarding. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand. Father, thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that our eyes can be opened. Our spiritual vision can become a reality. Oh, we thank you, Lord, that you are at work. Lord, and many times we don't see your hand. We don't see your hand at work. We don't know, Lord, that you are working. But I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to move into the things of the Spirit and open our eyes so that we can see that beyond all of what we see in the natural, that there is another world and you're at work there. And you're arranging and your purpose is being accomplished in that world. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you for that. And Lord, you're at work. And I thank you, Lord. And I just pray that you'll bring encouragement tonight to many that have prayed and prayed and prayed about certain needs, certain family members or whatever the circumstance is. And Lord, everywhere we look in the natural, we just see nothing but defeat and hopelessness and trouble. Help us, Lord, to move into the things of the Spirit and to see above that and to see, Lord, as you see. In Jesus' name.